His life is like we find them. And now what happens is something happens, some process, and he gave us a little insight. And when he's done, the life is in order. Wife is happy. The man is happy. Soup is happy. And that's really all there is to ministry. And I just want to talk to that a little bit. We've been talking about contending for things. And I just want to speak to you a little bit today about the Lord's Prayer. He said to us, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, let your name be holy, hallowed. And then he said this little thing, and it's really the core of what we do. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth like it is in heaven. That's really all I want us to get this morning. Is that what Jesus was saying is, how it is in heaven, so on the earth. Jesus came from heaven. He was the man from heaven. And so when he walked around the earth and he saw a thing that didn't look like heaven, he said, hey, this is not how this is supposed to be. It ought to be like this. Think how good this would be if it were like that. And that's what Jesus did. When I was in deep in the heart of Central Africa, I was the first white man that many of them had seen. We got back in the woods, you know. And on our ride back there, it was just chaos. I felt so far away from home. I was out of my element. You know, I was the white face for who knows how many miles. And I was back in the jungle, and they had to stop and get the four-wheel drive going, and all the little children were calling their friends, come look at this guy, there's a white guy, you know. And so I was way out in the back, and it was a long ride, and I just remember just, you know, in this bumpy little four-wheel drive going back up in the mountains, and I was thinking to myself, man, you know, if you put me out here, I would not even know how to begin to turn around and go home, you know. And after feeling so alien in this place, as we topped the hill, we got close to the place we were going. We topped the hill, I heard this sound. And it was the sound of praises. And it was the church we were going to. It was an outdoor church. But the people were praising, and they were praising in a language I didn't understand, but I knew what that was. I suddenly felt at home. I had been in this real, just feeling, having this real alienated feeling. But when I came over, I thought, now, this smells like home. This is kind of like home. You know, that's what a blessing is. When you get something, you say, well, that was a blessing. All that is a piece of heaven. It's just a little whiff of heaven you're getting. And Jesus, what he's saying is here, I want things to be like they are there, down here. When he says, you pray, when it's your turn to pray, here's what you pray. God, let your name be hallowed in the earth. And let your kingdom, what's going on up there, let's have some of that down here. Amen? And so that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. I just want to look at Jesus. Jesus is the model, you know. He's the model, and we can watch him go. And you'll see what he does. You could look at his whole ministry, and you can qualify it just like this. He was just bringing heaven to earth. That's all he did. Let's look at a few examples. With Peter's mother-in-law, it's classic. He walks in, and I need to do this fast. So if you'll be fast, if you'll listen fast, I'll talk fast, and we'll understand fast. Okay, that's bad English, but that's what we're going to do. He walked in, and Peter's mother-in-law, what he was expecting to find was that she was going to serve them. It was going to be a party. He walked in. He was looking for a healthy. But what, she had a fever. He was looking for a festive atmosphere, but she was suffering. She was supposed to be up doing things, but she was in bed. You see, she was out of order. Jesus came in and he was expecting order, the order of heaven. There was an order in place, but it was not the order that was supposed to be. How many of you know situations in your own life or the lives of the people around you? You walk across situations, you say, you know, this isn't right. This just isn't right. It shouldn't be this way. Come on. You know what I'm saying? There's things you look at and you go, you know, this shouldn't be like this. How do you know that? Where do you get that sense from? It doesn't come out of your mind. It's in us. We know what it's supposed to be like. And that's what Jesus is saying. Father, let your kingdom come here in this situation? So here's Peter's mother-in-law, and she's down, sick, suffering. So Jesus rebukes the fever. He says he got down and he bent over her, and he, to the fever, he rebuked it. What is rebuke? What does it mean when you rebuke something? It's what we're talking about, contending. He said, no. Fever said, I'm going to be a fever. And he said, no, you're not. Healthy is what I'm saying. Not in bed, suffering, up serving. That's the way it ought to be. Jesus said, I know what it's like. And how many fevers in heaven? How many laying in bed, suffering in heaven? That is not the order of heaven. And we need to become jealous for the order of heaven. So when we come across our situations, we say, no. That's what it means to rebuke. To rebuke is to say, no. No is a powerful word. Jesus, we've heard of binding and loosing. He said, whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose out on the earth will be loosed in heaven. What that means is, if you permit it, it's permitted. But if you forbid it, it's forbidden. You say, you're the gatekeeper. And so Jesus, when he came over, here's this woman, she's got a fever. He said, no, I don't permit this. And what happened? Heaven came to earth. This is our ministry. And if we ever learn it, we're going to become dangerous people. Have you got that thing queued up? We got a video? Oh, I got a thumbs up. Let's watch. This is from The Matrix. One of the greatest movies ever made. Go. Roll it.
He's the one.
Did you see what he did? He just said, no. He didn't yell. He just said, no. Because he realized that he was the one. Well, you are the one. And I am the one. How did Jesus commission us? He said, go preach the good news. And what? Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. That's, go set things in order. No is a powerful word, and we should get used to saying it. When you look around and you see something's out of order, particularly in your own life, the life of your family, the life of your friends, you need to stand up and say, no. No, sir. Not going to be here. We're going to have the order of heaven here. Right? What's heaven? The kingdom is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what it says in Romans 4:17. Righteousness, peace. So you walk into a situation, if there's not righteousness, it's time that you step up and say, no, sir, not going to be here. If there's not peace, if there's not joy, you walk into a place and somebody's depressed, no, sir. Do you know you can't have joy and be depressed at the same time? Come on. That's not possible. And so if there's depression there, it's not the kingdom. The kingdom is a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we contend for. So we walk into these situations. Watch Jesus. By the way, when it says resist the devil and he will flee, what does it mean resist? No. That's what we mean by contending. All this, you know, you may have heard contending and didn't know what all that means. But that's really all just it means. If somebody comes to take something that's yours, you say, no, sir. It's mine. That's contending. Look at Jesus in when he walked into the temple. This is a good one. He's going into the temple, and what's he expecting? Jesus is going to the house of worship, house of prayer. And he's coming, you can just imagine him going, yeah, man, going up to the temple. Here we go. It's going to be, people are going to be in love with God. There's going to be worship. It's going to be praise. It's going to be as close to heaven on earth as I can get here. But when he walks in, he hears buying and selling and trading and people cheating and commerce and marketplace where there should be temple. And so what does Jesus do? He makes a whip out of cords, deliberation. He planned. He was over there making his whip going, wait till I get over there. Coming right there for you, baby. And he made his, he on purpose, he didn't just find one. You get that? He knew what he was doing. He made his whip and he went in there and he started kicking things. If you were there, you would have been a little freaked out. It says he was knocking the tables over and throwing the money. There was money and animals running and people. Now, when he got done, it was a house of prayer. There was a hush and a quiet, and people were like, ooh. Now, it was a little chaotic in the meanwhile. Sometimes bringing the kingdom is violent. The kingdom of heaven advances violently, and it's the violent who take it by force. And Jesus came in, and he violently put in a new order. You see it? He came and it was out of order, and when he left, it was in perfect order. That's what we do. That's what we do with the lives of people around us, with our own lives, with the lives of our children. We walk into a situation and we fix it. That was a funny story. I had not heard from George about the ear thing. I knew something happened, but I didn't know that happened. That was funny. We had a situation. I was in Honduras, and while I was there, I went and preached in this service, and usually in those kind of services where I preach, God just comes in power. And I mean, it really, that was just normal. We had just done those kind of meetings, and you know, people are on the ground, there's demons cast out, there's you know, just big things. Well, this one, I felt that. I knew the anointing was there, and I felt like something was going on. But every time I preached a little bit and I started to pray for people, and they just stand there. I was like, well, this is kind of odd. So I prayed for the next one, and they just stand there. And I told them, I said, y'all, let's just stop a minute. I don't know what to tell you. Can we pray? I said, I feel like God's trying to break through and do something, but I don't know. I've never had this happen before. And we prayed, and, you know, they were earnest and kind and good people, and we prayed together. And I just told them, I said, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I feel like God's trying to do something. Just keep praying. And so I walked out of there shaking my head, and I thought, well, now that was the biggest dud of a meeting. I thought, I could tell God was on the verge of doing something, but it just, to me, seemed like nothing. So we're getting in the cab, and before we go, the pastor says, hey, before we leave, there's a lady up here I want you to come pray for. I said, all right. So we walked up there. It's pitch black up in this neighborhood. And we come in this little room, and there's this little tiny woman. Smallest woman I guess I've ever seen, little scrawny, laying on this little bed, and she's got a big oxygen tank hanging. They don't have the little ones, they have the big ones, you know, and she's laying there. And they didn't say anything, and I wasn't fluent in Spanish at that time, and I just said, all right. So I just took her hands and I started to pray for her, and I just said, Lord, you know what's wrong with her, fix it. And she took my hands, she sat up, and she took my hands, and she lifted my hands up in the air, and, you know, she was just praising the Lord or something. She took off her little oxygen thing, and I thought, well, hallelujah, whatever, you know. So I went back to the cab and went back to the hotel, and I thought, well, just what a bust of a night. You know, I have no idea what, I knew something was supposed to give. Well, the next day, I'm in the hotel, and the guy who was my translator, he is over there. I said, hey, man, what's going on? He came over and his eyes were wide. He said, you don't have any idea, do you? I said, I don't know what you're saying. He said, that lady had been in that bed for 8 months, and they said she'd never walk again. They said, and she's been laying there. She didn't have the strength. She's never sat up. She hasn't spoken. And the doctor said if she ever took that thing out, she'd be dead. And he said, she has been running around the town all day today. And he said, today, the whole town came to our church. And he said, the pastor's trying to talk to him. They said, no, we don't want to talk to the pastor. We want to see Miracle Lady. Bring the Miracle Lady out. You know? And so that guy got to preach the gospel to that whole town, and it just like broke out. And if I hadn't bumped into the translator, I'd still think that was a dud of a night. Do you see what I'm saying? And if George hadn't given a testimony, you know, who knows? But God is doing stuff. And it is just as simple as Neo says, no, I don't think so. I'm telling you, you have that kind of authority. You do. Speak into that life. Your father loves you. He is nuts about you. Talk about walk across the room. All you have to do is tell somebody. Who hugged this young lady? Who is the hugger? Is that you? Y'all hug each other. No, in general. Hug each other. Love each other. Tell each other how much God loves you. Because we're all dying to hear it. And you know it's true. But it just takes a walk across the room, not just to evangelize. I mean, that's awesome. But to set something straight. When you see somebody, they need something, go give it to them. Right? Because Jesus said, you saw me hungry, but you didn't feed me. You saw that I had a need, but you didn't. Well, go on and do it. Get up, walk across the room. Go tell somebody. And when you see a situation like Jesus did, fix it. All right, we're almost out of time. The demoniac, the guy with all the demons in him, Jesus came up, and here was this guy who was naked, could not be chained, cutting himself with stones, lived among the tombs, he whacked out of his head, just crazy. His life was a complete wreck. But Jesus, when he got done with him, the man was dressed in his right mind, sitting at Jesus' feet. Do you see? And there's countless stories. You know, there's the deadly storm. What did Jesus say? He got up and said, no. He rebuked the wind and the waves. And he says, it's not going to be like this. What we need is a band of people who love the kingdom, who are jealous for the order of heaven, and who say, this is going to be not like this, but like that. That's how he said to pray. The master said, when you pray, pray like this. God, bring that here. What you got going there, we need that going down here. And you can apply that to anything. To anybody. You got an unruly teenager? Hey, order of heaven. You say, no, sir, not going to be that way. So here's a few, I'm sorry I have to cut it so short, but here's a few things I think we ought to contend for. Number one, start in your own backyard. You can't go and make the world into the kingdom when, you know, if my yard is dirty and I come to you and say, let's clean your yard, you'd say, dude, yeah, I'm all about us having clean yards, but let's go back and before you make this task force for me, let's go get you going. Start with you. Make sure there's a kingdom in your life. Look at your own heart, your life, your conduct, your intentions, your love, your motivations. Right? Let the order of heaven start around my atmosphere, right in my space. Amen? And then I'll start helping. You know what Jesus say? If you take that thing out of your eye, you know, how would you like that? If you know, it's got this thing here, I'm going to help you with that. You'd be like, dude, don't touch me until you can't even see to get to me, much less help me get something out of my eye. Contend for righteousness, peace, and joy. And I'm just going to spit these at you. I want you to get them. Righteousness. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness. Contend for that in your own life. Be free of everything that binds you. Jesus said, you know, don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's what Paul said. Let's be free from habits, free from sin, secret sin, compromise. For peace, let's have peace among us. How many does it take to gossip? One to talk and one to listen, right? Don't be either. Let's have peace among us. Amen? Let's have a situation where there's not disorder, but peace. No division. No unforgiveness. Please forgive. You have been forgiven. Freely forgive others. Busyness is an enemy of peace. Slow down a little bit. You know? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Like I said, depression. I'm telling you, I'm on the warpath with depression. Depression makes the hair on the back. I say, hey, This is too good. If you're depressed, you didn't hear it right. You're missing it. This is good. I mean, if I suffer, it's glory. If things don't go well, it's glory for me. If I die, I'm promoted. Hello, what part of this do you not get? My sins are forgiven. I'm done. There's nothing bad that can happen to me. My friend, I had a funeral of a friend of mine this week. And, you know, my wife said to me, you know, he made it. He made it. He finished his race. If you're depressed, come on. The enemy's attacking you. You have to be supernaturally attacked in order to be depressed if you're a Christian. You understand what I'm saying? Because we have the good news. Seriously. So contend for joy in the Holy Ghost. Stress, worry, anxiety. These things want to have us. But we are a people who have been given the authority to say no. We're the ones who can say, no, sir, not going to have it. Fathers, you can say, not in my house. Mothers, you can say, nuh-uh, the children, not going to be that way. And kids, you can say, no, sir. We're going to do it this way in my house. We're going to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? We're out of time. Be contenders for the kingdom. Say no. I need people in my life that will look at my life and where I'm out of order, come and say no for me. You know what I'm saying? That people that love me enough to say, you know, Lance, I see this right here, and this is just not heaven. Let's fix that. Let's do that. Did you want to lead a response?
Wow. That was a good word and very compact. Thank you so much, Lance. Good job. I think we'd like to hear part two of that soon. But that this morning there's been an invitation of the Holy Spirit, the whole morning, starting with a prayer meeting, throughout the worship, the word, this time with the Bill Hybels video. There's been this thing of bringing heaven to earth, that heaven needs to invade earth, as Bill Johnson says. That's exactly what it is. We have to become those kind of people. And, you know, at some point, brothers and sisters, we have to actually believe that we're forgiven. At some point, we have to get beyond the me, my forgiveness, my problems, my depression. And at some point, we've got to become valuable in the hands of the Master to bring heaven to earth. At some point, that we've got to get past this me thing. And we've got to get to be about Him and about heaven. And there's a dying, desperate world. And it does start with our world. And that's why we need one another. I mean, it's okay to have problems, and it's okay to struggle, and it's okay, but it's not okay to stay there. The Lord has paid the price, given us authority in heaven, and I know Lance didn't have time to go through the scriptures and show all that in the scriptures, but that certainly is there. We do have that authority in Christ. So why don't we all just stand? I think it applies to every one of us. I'm not going to do an invitation per se, but I think it applies to every one of us. We say, Lord, we want more of heaven in our lives. I know I want more of you, Lord. So why don't you lead us in a prayer? And you just bring your agreement to this prayer. You know, if all authority has been given to Jesus, then the enemy has no authority except that which we give him, because Jesus gave us authority, right? So all authority goes to Jesus. He says, you can do it in my name. So what authority does the enemy have? Nothing except that which we agree. And how do we do that? We come in agreement with things. The enemy gives us something, depression, and we agree with it, then it has authority. If we disagree with it, we say no, it has no authority. So let's stand together as a church family. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we say no to sickness in this house. We say no, Lord, to financial difficulties in this house. We say no to relational challenges and difficulties in this house. And so we say, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring righteousness, peace, and joy into our lives, into our homes, into this house. We, Father, will contend. We'll stand. We will not accept anything less than your best for us, Lord. We want the full word to have effect in our lives and in this place. Father, raise our expectations. Lord, help us get beyond our doubt. Help us get beyond ourselves and to start focusing on you. Lord Jesus, we want more of you. We want to be deeply in love with you. We come again and we open our hearts, we open our minds and we say, Lord, have your way. This week, Lord, give us opportunities to build relationships with non-believers. Give us opportunities to see order coming again, where what is in disorder will come back in line because of your power, what your work on the cross, and the authority that you've given us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Lord, help us to get beyond ourselves. Help us to get beyond these baby steps and to start to move into the things. You said we would do greater works, Lord, than you did. Help us, Lord. That violates our minds. Help us, Lord, to understand, to truly start believing that your word is true. Understand who we are in you. And, Lord, to do exactly as Jesus said, I do nothing except that which I see my Father do. Help us become a house, a people like that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, bless you. That was a really packed service. That was great. Have a wonderful week. I know we're going to run. I think they've got the video ready on the announcements. If you would bear with us for one more minute, if you could just bear with us for one more minute, and we'll run the announcements.
Hey, welcome to Northlands News.
Here are your announcements.
Hey guys, how are you this week? We just wanted to remind you that the new Encounter service is this Saturday from 7 to 9, February the 2nd. It's going to be 2 hours of praise and worship, guys, so get ready to encounter God. We'll see you there.
This Tuesday, January 29th at 9:30 a.m., join us for our intercessory group.
Hey Liesl, did you know that on the morning of Wednesday, January 30th, there's a ladies' meeting at the Templeton's home at 9:30?
That is so cool, but I'm totally not a morning person, so.
That's okay, because then on the evening of Thursday, January 31st, there's another ladies' meeting at the Hazel's home at 7:30.
That's so cool.
This Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8, we'll have our regularly scheduled service.
Oops, not this week because it's the fifth Wednesday of the month, so take some time off and hang with your friends and family.
If you ever miss any of these announcements, you can check out our Northlands page on YouTube.com. To get there, just go to YouTube.com and search for Northlands Media. Also, if you want to check out any of the sermons you've missed, we have a weekly video podcast available on the iTunes Store. Just go on the iTunes Store and search for Northlands Church.
That's it for Northlands News. Enjoy the rest of the service. See you next time.
That was great. Bless you.